Life Management Science Labs would like to acknowledge that we live and produce this podcast on the traditional lands of the Wurundjeri people. We'd also like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land of our listeners and our international colleagues. We'd like to thank and pay our respects to the elders, past, present, and emerging. Hello, everyone, and welcome to CeroBoost, the Happiness Science Insights podcast, produced by LMSL, the Life Management Science Labs. We are champions of life management science, providing structured insights informed by science and inspired by practice on key aspects of conscious living. Each week, we bring you scientific and practical insights on each element with the expert knowledge of professionals in the field. I'm your host, Lu Ngo, coming to your ears from NARM, Melbourne, Australia. Let's learn together. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to CeroBoost, the show where we talk about all things happiness and the science behind it. Today, I'm here in the virtual studio with Jennifer Fried, PhD, and I'm really excited to talk to her about fostering relationships that boost happiness. Today, we're going to talk about relationships in general, and we'll also touch on romantic relationships because they're so important in our lives. So before we get started, I would just like to share a little bit about Jennifer. She is a psychological astrologer, author and social emotional educator, a very impressive background. And I would love to throw over to Jennifer to introduce a bit more about herself and how she got to do the work that she's doing. And we'll find out a bit more about her in a little bit as well. So Jennifer, welcome to the show. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. It's pretty exciting. I can be in Montecito, California, and at 5:30 p.m. recording this with you at 10:30 a.m. It's just thrilling that we have this opportunity. That's one of the true sciences of happiness, is connecting across all spectrums and time differences. So a little bit about me. I have been practicing psychology and astrology and social emotional education for over 30 years. And in psychology, we look to alleviate people's suffering, and we also help them strengthen their resources internally and externally. In astrology, we look at someone's cosmic DNA, if you will, their life lesson plan. And in social emotional education, we're training people on how to have healthy relationships by managing emotion, delaying gratification, learning how to give strategic appreciations, handling conflicts positively, and having self and social awareness.
Wow, so much to be covered and so much to talk about. And I know that you are the author of many, many interesting books as well. So I'll leave you to talk about that in, throughout the recording and potentially before we wrap up. But now let's get to know you a bit better. We have this section where we called Have You Met Jennifer? I love this section because I get recommendations from my guests and get to know about them a bit better. So the first thing we always ask is, what is a book you would recommend?
My book, A Map to Your Soul. I would recommend Channing Nicholas's book, and I would also recommend Rick Tarnas's book, Cosmos and Psyche, and I would also recommend the book Untethered Soul. I read a lot, so there's a lot of books I love.
Yeah, we love that. You know, we asked for one and you gave us four, so that's perfect. Thank you. Next one is, what is a movie you would recommend?
A movie I would recommend is... I like so many movies. Groundhog Day.
I never heard of that one before. Gotta put it on my list. So you are currently a guest on our podcast, but I wonder which podcast you listen to the most.
I'm not a big podcast listener, to be honest. I would say I listen the most to my friend Elise Lonen, Pulling the Thread. She's a good friend. I listen to Sex with Emily because she's a good friend. I listen to podcasts based on supporting my friends, is what I would say.
That's so sweet of you. Thank you. And next one, who is your famous role model? Or if not a famous person, then who's your personal role model?
Well, this will be an interesting answer. My personal role model is not a human, but my cat that has been deceased, and I wrote a book about him called Lessons from Stanley the Cat, because that cat was the most realized being I know. He taught me how to be humble, how to be present, how to be consistent and loving and gentle. I wrote a whole book about him, so you can find out more about him, but he's my role model, even as he is not here anymore.
Oh, I love that. I have three cats myself, so when you talk about your cat, I'm like, your deceased cat, so lovely. Yeah, we'll definitely have to check that out. I'm just thinking about my other deceased cat as well. So apologies for the pause, but thank you for that. I really love that answer. And the first time we have an animal as a role model on our show. So this is, you know, quite unique. Finally, what is a course you've completed that you would like to talk about?
A course I've completed. Well, my PhD in psychology was a huge accomplishment for me because I'm not such an academic. Yet I really wanted to complete that for my ancestors. None of the women in my family had gotten an education. And also I wanted to learn the discipline of writing, which it really did teach me that.
Yeah, that's fascinating. Thank you. All right, so we've covered five questions. We got to know five things about you. And I believe that our audience, just like me, we've known you a bit better. Feel like we're friends. So now let's talk about the topic of the day. We'll talk about happiness. We'll talk about relationships. And we always start with the question about happiness because this is what the show is about. And I find that each guest has a very unique definition. So I wonder to you, Jennifer, what does happiness mean?
It's the perfect sweet spot of pleasure, purpose, and meaning.
I love that definition. Yeah, it's quite similar to some of the guests have talked about before. And I think it's quite relevant nowadays because, a lot of us, I would say recently have talked about, you know, lacking a sense of purpose. Lots of us have pleasure, you know, that cannot be denied. And I guess we always seek that frequently, but purpose is a thing that we need to think about more because it doesn't come easily to us. We sometimes have to find it and do work around it. So that's quite interesting and like a good reminder to myself. So with your definition, I'm pretty sure in your line of work, you've met a lot of people, you've done a lot of research and you've talked to many people that probably have misconceptions when it comes to happiness. So with all of that, what do you think to be some of the biggest misconceptions when it comes to happiness?
That it's going to be in the future is the biggest misconception. Mm. I work with billionaires, celebrities, and very poor people as well. And what humans seem to have in common is that one day I will get to be happy if I have this or I have this. And there's nothing true about that because I know people with everything that you could ever conceivably want, and they feel very lonely and unhappy. So happiness is the state of gratitude in this moment for what you have and what you do not have.
Yeah. Wow. That is such a great reminder. I think we've talked about that also quite a few times on this show, but every time I hear it, it's like a nice reminder because you tend to forget about it, right? You tend to think, oh, like I have to do this today, rush through all these things. And a lot of the times it's kind of like, where's my happiness? I don't know. It's actually right here in the now and we just forget to look. So I think that's quite important. And it's such a great way to look at the topic of today because we're talking about relationships and fostering relationships to boost happiness. And I think a big component of relationships would be being present, you know, and enjoying where you are in that relationship. And we'll talk about many more aspects of it, but I would love to hear from you regarding some of the key principles when it comes to fostering positive relationships that can boost our happiness.
To me, relationships all require an intense curiosity instead of defensiveness. Number one, instead of thinking you're right and being superior to anyone, be very curious about the other person's perspective. And that's where empathy is an enormous requirement for happiness. If I don't really care about what it's like for you, Lou, I'm not going to really connect with you. And happiness in relationship is dependent on mutuality and reciprocity and understanding and attunement.
That's beautiful. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think a lot of the times it's when it comes to relationships, we tend to share and we tend to kind of think, oh, like, how do I make that person like me? So, you know, like you just kind of give out all this information where in fact, what you just said is perfect because we need to bring that level of curiosity into the relationship. And I think when I think about the different relationships I have in my life, whether it be with friends, romantic partners, family, whenever there's that level of curiosity shown in conversations or in how we interact, I feel like that relationship, the relationship is so much deeper. You know, it's just, it's brought to a whole different level. And I think that's what's beautiful about different kinds of relationships. So next, we would love to talk to you about some of the emotional blocks, because when it comes to curiosity, when you're the one being curious, the other person needs to be vulnerable and vice versa. So there could be potentially a lot of emotional blocks that stop us from bringing out, you know, like what could build that relationships. This could mean, you know, like I wouldn't feel comfortable or vulnerable enough to share myself with you, Jennifer, because I have things that I need to work on by myself and on my own. So how do you think individuals can identify and work through these emotional blocks so that they don't hinder their ability to build these relationships?
Great question. First of all, one of the pinnacles of social and emotional health is self-awareness. So one, you have to be aware of where am I blocked? And one great tool for that is notice in your body where you contract when somebody asks you a question or when somebody looks at you. Every block we have to intimacy is ours to remove. So first we have to become aware. What is it? What am I afraid of? What do I imagine is going to happen if I share this with you, Lou? And then even to say, I'm not ready to talk about this, is a bold and transparent step.
Yeah, that's such a good point. I think I've realized this in friendships quite a bit. So, you know, when we first hang out, like this can apply to a lot of different friendships, actually. But sometimes there are questions thrown around that I just wasn't ready to answer. And I feel like past me would be like, oh, I don't really talk about that. So I'll just dodge it or just give a really vague answer. But recently, as I've grown as a person, I've started to say, I appreciate your question, but I'm not ready to talk about it.
Yes.
I'll talk to you about it at a later date. And I think that really helps, because that allows the other person to understand that there needs to be so much vulnerability and so much self-work, you know, within me that needs to happen before I can have that conversation with them. And slowly but surely that build trust. I think that's also a very important factor in relationships, don't you think?
Absolutely. And we build trust by keeping our word. And I think this is a very understated part of intimacy, is we are only as good as our word. So if you say to me, Jen, I'm going to show up at 5:30 to support you in a book review, and you don't come till 6, ouch, you lose a little credibility. If I say to you, I'm going to keep your confidence and you've told me a secret, and you find out I've shared it, ouch, you lose some credibility. I really believe that we are only as trustworthy as our word is kept. Very important.
Yeah, absolutely. So those are one of the obstacles, actually. And there are multiple obstacles that will come to when it comes to building healthy and positive relationships. That sounds to me like communication, right? Building trust, communication and action, actually doing what you're saying. But I'm sure there are other obstacles when it comes to building healthy and positive relationships as well. So what do you think they are?
Well, there's four ways that people generally don't listen that interrupt the possibility of true connection. One is, instead of listening, they give advice. Two is toxic positivity. Instead of listening, they just try to cheer you up and get you to move on. Three is they're distracted. They're on their phone. They're not really looking at you. They're looking at other people. And four is analyzing you and trying to fix you, repair you, as if you are a broken problem. These are not ways that we actually listen to people. Deep listening is characterized by actually understanding, being able to remember what somebody has said, using follow-up questions, and not so much identifying, oh yeah, me too, but actually saying, well, what is it like for you? And believing that that other human being is a whole world of possibilities you've never even considered.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's quite important to notice that these things tend to sort of manifest based on how you were brought up. Because I talk to my friends a lot about this, and I think, you know, the tendency for us to, whether or not listen deeply and really seek to understand being before being understood, that is probably like a coping mechanism or, you know, a way for us to get over and get through childhood trauma. So I think there's a very big factor here in terms of how children are raised and, you know, how communications between parents and caregivers can help children to really nurture these positive traits. So what advice would you give to parents and caregivers so that they can support their children in developing healthy relationships and positive relationships?
I think the most important thing for parenting is do your own work. You mentioned trauma. I've been trained as a national consultant for EMDR, which is a post-traumatic growth therapy. And what I notice is most parents take out their own traumas on their children unless they've worked through them. So to be a great parent is not to get your children to be certain ways or to be certain people, but it's to remove the blocks inside of you as a parent from seeing them as they are. Everybody wants to be safe, seen, and celebrated. A parent's job is to get detached enough to say, how can I help Lo blossom? And listen deeply to what Lo wants. Children at a very young age know who they are. And if they're not repressed or censored, they grow quite naturally into their true selves. Having said that, as a parent, you need very clear boundaries of expectations. And so children are not confused about what's expected of them.
Yeah, that is absolutely correct. And I think when I was doing some reading on this topic, there was a very big component of, you know, showing the right behaviors as well, because, you know, children learn from what they observe. And, you know, if they observe the way that their parents interact and they're not, you know, healthy behaviors, again, going back to trauma, obviously the parents have to work through their trauma first. But if these behaviors are where, you know, could be unhealthy or, you know, the parents just unconsciously do things that just teach children really bad lessons that will stay with them for a very, very long time. And it takes so much unlearning to, you know, get away from that. So I think it's also that aspect of understanding and, you know, consciously learning about yourself before you even become a parent. And this is what just, you know, based on what I learned, I'm not a parent myself. But I think it's so interesting when I read that, because I was thinking, wow, there's so much that we do. And even if we're not parents, we interact with children, right? Like if I interact with my nieces and nephews, and if I'm doing something, if I'm, you know, interacting with them and I'm on my phone, they would probably assume that, you know what, it's okay for me to interact with my friends and just be on my phone at the same time.
Yes, I think that what disturbs children the most is the excessive hypocrisy in the adult population. Don't be on your phone. Meanwhile, I'm on my phone. Don't eat junk food. So meanwhile, true. I'm drinking wine. You know, it's just a lot of hypocrisy. I know when I was growing up, I had to struggle a lot to find out what was true, because my parents would say one thing and do another thing. On the other hand, because I am older, it's imperative that when you're 18 and above, you realize it's your life now. Stop blaming your parents. They did the best they could. Now, if you've got blocks to intimacy and relationship, go get help instead of making excuses for why things aren't working for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And this is like I would say like the basic principle of relationship. Even, you know, it's, you learn so much from your parents' behavior or your caregiver's behavior. And I think it takes that, you know, conscious effort to notice, you know, if it's actually the healthy behaviors that you're learning or you're picking up from, or whether you just go around and say, you know what, my parents do that, so it's fine for me to do that. it's very different as well. So it takes both sides, especially when you said, you know, when you're 18, you're an adult, obviously in the process of growing up, there's so much that you're going to learn. And so I think this is probably the most fascinating aspect of learning from relationships and nurturing relationships yourself, because it takes two hands to clap. So it's not just, you know, okay, this is how we're going to go with this relationship, whether it be parent and children or friendships or, you know, romantic partnerships. It's quite an interesting space to navigate. And a lot of it takes so much learning, you know, noticing, because I feel like we are on autopilot a lot of the time. Like you said earlier, right? Like, are we in the present? Probably not. You know, at least 50% of the time we're not, which is on autopilot.
I think it takes an incredible resistance to the dominant culture noise to be present. There is so much conspiring against us to be in this moment together. All yeah. of the mental chatter, the media chatter. And so for me, the biggest revolution of consciousness will be a resistance to the outer noise and tuning in to our intuition, to our inner guidance. These are the ways that we will truly become intimate with ourselves and others.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think when it comes to relationships, the strong emphasis nowadays as well, for a lot of people, it's kind of new to navigate the romantic relationship space, because you just mentioned, you know, like tuning into yourself. It's quite interesting because this is what's been happening lately when I talk to my friends. So I have a friend who was just complaining about another friend who just started to get into relationships and started to disappear. And then I have another friend who talked about her best friend whose behavior completely changed when, you know, ever since she started to get into a relationship. So this actually impact the friendships and potentially the romantic relationship, and most importantly, the person themselves. So I think let's talk a bit more about that, because this is like a dynamic that affects everyone around that person, whoever that might be, that is getting into a romantic relationship or has been in a romantic relationship for a long time with their partner. There's that need to really balance the personal growth, personal development with the needs and desires of the partner. Because a lot of the times we see that, oh, like, you know, like when their partner asks them for something, someone might just, you know, come running and they don't really care about what they are supposed to do.
Yes, I think this is a huge hurdle, especially for women who are more vulnerable to being caretakers, that they lose their identity sometimes when they merge with another person. And it takes a community of loyal and truthful friends to call them back in. We are all living yeah. in a matrix of relationships. So even if you have a romantic relationship, it impacts all these different relationships, as you were saying. So for me, it's about having authentic friendships where somebody can say, hey, Jen, you are seeming obsessed right now with this relationship. We haven't seen you, and that doesn't seem that healthy. Or, hey, Lo, you are spending so much time caring about what they're thinking and doing. I haven't heard a thing about your priorities lately. We need to keep each other accountable. It's a concept I call the sacred crew, and it's in my new book, A Map to Your Soul. It's essential that we surround ourselves with people that care about our well-being more than they care about being nice.
That is such a good point. I couldn't agree more. I think a lot of the times, especially with friends who are a little bit on the people pleasing side, they might just say nice things to you because they don't want to hurt you or they don't want to damage the relationship. But that actually damages the relationship big time.
Well, you said it. It turns into gossip. When you don't yeah. have the ability to say to your friend what's really going on for you, you're more likely to turn to another friend. And now we've got this gossip ring going around, and that's very damaging. I don't like to gossip. I like to tell people what's going on for me and yeah. let them have the chance to know who I am in my feedback.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's hard. You know, it's definitely a challenge, especially for people that are on the more defensive side, they don't like confrontation. It's better for them to process the situation and talk about it later, like myself, hands up, that's me. So it takes a lot of learning. So I think it's true, you know, we don't want gossip, but at the same time, it's a journey to get there. Because, you know, for some people, it might just be really easy for them to speak their mind. Like, hey, what are you doing? This is not okay. But for me, it takes so much more time to actually think and approach the situation, because I need to have enough observation to actually go to that person before I even say it out loud. I'm like, am I even right? Like, am I overthinking this? Because that's what's going on in my mind. Like, most of the time, I'm like, I think it's wrong, but I think I might be overthinking it as well. So I need a second opinion. But then it kind of turns into gossip, just like you said. So I'm kind of like, okay, I'm going to have to navigate this.
Well, you are a great observer. I can tell that already. And you really are thoughtful and you're introverted. And so for me, my coaching to you would be write about it first. Because in writing, you'll be able to really see all the different sides because you're a good perspective taker. And maybe even say to the person, I have something I want to talk to you about in a couple of days. And by the time you've written it out and asked permission to talk about it, you're good.
That's a good point. Thank you. Very helpful. Yeah, I tend to journal quite a bit, but lately I haven't done that as much. So this is a good reminder to actually do that, because otherwise it's all in here. It's getting noisy. So yeah, that's a really good point. So we talked about the perspectives of the friends, right? So you mentioned that it requires a tribe of good friends to help you, but the work is also required, and the most required from the side of the person who's going through all of this, whether it be, you know, like getting into a romantic relationship, being in a romantic relationship, or getting out of them. So it's now getting to a point where we also need to look at preparing for this. So I'm talking about this because if someone is single, is not looking for a relationship right now, listening to this podcast episode, I'm sure there are things we can do to help them to prepare for the future when they decide to, if they want to get into a romantic relationship. It's very important to kind of like keep yourself focused on your own journey as well, because this is what happens a lot of the times. It happened to me when I was younger, and I know that it's happening to a lot of people around me at the moment. You lose yourself in the relationship. You become a completely different person. So we're still talking about that, you know, journey of self-development and personal development while balancing the needs of the relationship. So which advice would you give to those people who are navigating this space? I know that there are a few things like setting boundaries, you know, like working on your attachment styles, little things like that really help and add up, but I'm sure there are more.
I have one single great piece of advice for all you single people. Become the person that your ideal person would fall in love with. The best way to be prepared for a true love, and I have a true love. I've been with somebody for 27 years and we have a really good relationship. The best way to prepare is be that person that your true love would want to be in love with. Work on yourself like you are a masterpiece and be fully expressed in your life. We all come in with so many gifts, small and big gifts. Love isn't finding someone out there. It's finding a way to tap into all your gifts and deliver them. And if you're busy doing that, you're going to be a magnet for the right person. If you are waiting for someone to define you, affirm you, approve of you, you are already in a codependent relationship. Turn the attention here. Be magnificent. Dress the way you would dress if the perfect person would walk in the room. Talk the way you would talk. Because in courtship, just like in nature, people really are their best. Start now. Don't wait for the person. You'll enjoy your life more.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I think it applies to everyone, actually, not just single people, because as I said before, I hear from lots of friends who just talk about how other people get lost in relationship and, you know, their friends and circles don't recognize them anymore. They just become really different. And that is so sad, actually. That's quite sad. So I think the focus to work on the self is always, it's not just, you know, for when you're single. I think it's even more important when you're in getting into a relationship or in a relationship yourself, because that's when it gets really like, you know, the boundaries might get blurred, or, you know, like you might notice issues and you're kind of like, oh, wait, why didn't I see this before? So I think turning that inward and just really working on yourself, that's super important.
And I have great news for your audience, which is I developed something over 10 years called the Relationship Check-In Tool. And it is very much like counting steps for your physical activity. But what it's going to allow people to do is count their steps toward having a healthy relationship daily, weekly, monthly with a graph. And it's going to be run through Nebula Horoscope starting in May. And the first week will be free, and then there'll be a small fee. But for me, as a person that's listened to thousands of people talk about relationship, why aren't we putting in the time every day reflecting on how healthy are we being in a relationship, friendship or otherwise? This tool is going to be a game changer.
That's fantastic. Thank you for sharing. I'm pretty sure our audience would definitely check out the tool, enjoy it. I'll check that out as well. So please send us the link. We'll make sure to include that in the show notes. And final question before we go into the practical part of this podcast episode is the big question. So we've covered quite a few things. You know, we've covered the obstacles when it comes to maintaining healthy relationships, how we can, you know, build that and nurture that. But it's also about the lifelong journey of building and maintaining those relationships. So it's not just, okay, I'm working on that right now because I'm building the relationship, but it's also about maintaining that, the positive relationships in your life. And I'm talking about both, you know, relationships with others, like friends, family, and romantic relationships with partners, because we want to be able to sustain that long-term happiness in our personal and professional lives, especially when, you know, when you have lots of relationships to manage, people tend to get sucked into certain, you know, issues or problems, and they get affected and they are not able to perform professionally, for example, and vice versa. Yeah.
Well, I think it's pretty simple and hardly ever really done right, which is to maintain long-term relationships, you need to give time, energy, and attention to them on a regular, consistent basis. So for me, with my friends, I have very deep friendships, and I have my beautiful partner. It's about telling them I love them daily. I also recognize their qualities and their essences daily and text them loving things. I'm also available for them when they're super sad and don't try to talk them out of their feelings. If you want to have successful long-term relationships, make it a priority to give time, energy, and attention.
Yeah, I love that. I think it applies to all kinds of relationship, right? And it's a reminder, you know, if you haven't talked to or texted your mom, your dad, your best friend, do that right now as you're listening to this, or once you finish listening to this, because I think we forget to do that a lot, myself included. You know, sometimes when I'm busy and I'm just going with the grind, I'm like, wow, it's been a week I haven't texted my mom. I should do that, you know? So that's a really good way to maintain these relationships. And I love that you talked about those three anchors. So let's talk about something more practical now. We've talked about a lot of the theories. We've got to know you a bit better. And you also mentioned that you have a loving partner that you adore. And I'm pretty sure your other relationships are well maintained. So we would love to know from you, what is a practice that you use to actually allow you to foster the relationships in your life and maintain them to be these healthy, positive relationships?
Well, I did mention I keep in constant contact with people, even if it's a small text. But the best one that I've done with my partner for 27 years is at least every other day we sit down and say three things we specifically appreciate about each other, hold hands, look in each other's eyes, no matter what's going on, and remember what we love about each other. It's so easy to get into the complaining and the resentments. But what's even harder is to keep the vibration very high and to really be specific what you love about that person that day. It fosters your own positive immune system, but it also uplifts them.
I love that. That is such a nice thing to do. And I think for our audience who have not tried this before, who might be a little hesitant, what would you say to be the three good things about this practice?
One is I feel so much joy recognizing what I love about somebody. Two, the other person actually gets to hear from me what's making impact, how they're showing up that makes impact. And three, it's embarrassing. It's a little corny and goofy, and you cannot be in love without those qualities.
Oh, that's so sweet. I love that. Yeah, and I think if anything, this can be applied to your best friend, your parents, anyone really, if you want to build and nurture a relationship with them, right? Because I think it is corny, but it's so important. Like you said, I think the friendships that have not worked out for me is probably because we didn't have any practice, or we didn't do anything together that require us to actually appreciate each other and allow us to have time to reflect. It's just more like, oh yeah, let's go with the flow. But one of the friendships that I love the most, my best friendships so far, is when we actually, you know, have our weekly call and sit down and share our gratitude list. And I mean, 100% of the time, we're in each other's gratitude list. So I really love that, because it's not about like just talking about each other, but talking about other things in life. It's a great way to catch up, and you get to be recognized. You get to recognize that person as well. And it's such a nice thing. I feel like it's super cheesy when I say it out loud to people that, you know, my best friend and I do this, but I really love it because it helps so much.
Yes, I think cheesy, goofy, corny are underrated aspects of being very happy and joyful.
That's so true. I love that so much. I'm going to grab my best friends and do this with them on the weekly now, you know, obviously, because you have so many different people in your life. You cannot do this every day with all of them. But yeah, one day per week, you know, we have a roster. That's actually a really good idea to kind of like maintain and sustain your relationships, to keep them healthy and positive. Okay, so regarding this practice, you already said to us that you do this with your partner every other day. I think to me, I probably will customize it based on the relationship itself. You know, if you have a loving partner that you want to do this with, probably, like you said, every other day is good. With friends, probably once a week. With parents, similar. Because it depends. We have so many different kinds of relationships in our lives to navigate. So it'd be good to actually think about how often you want to do them. Otherwise, you won't have time for anything else. But it's good. This is a really good practice. And when you do this practice, you already mentioned some benefits. So I wonder what impact has it had on your level of happiness and perception in life, if there's anything you haven't mentioned.
Actually, I live a very joyful life, but it takes a lot of discipline and practice. Love is a verb in my mind, not a noun. It's about the doing of the loving things. And I wake up each day very intentionally doing my Qigong, doing my spiritual writing. I write to a friend every single morning to check in. There's a lot that I do to maintain a joyful mindset, because I do not think, given our culture, that it's easy to do. So I start off running with a positive mindset, and it usually lasts me throughout the day. But it's on me to create that mindset, not someone else.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Oh, beautiful. Thank you. And finally, what other practice would you recommend our audience to combine this practice with? Obviously, you mentioned before in our chat earlier that, you know, you want to express the love for the person. So, you know, a text, and then you're talking about this practice where you're actually like, you know, holding hands and talking about each other. Any other practice that you would like to recommend for us to combine with?
I think a great practice for intimacy building with friends or family or a lover is just holding space. So you take a timer and you say, you've got 4 minutes. Just tell me anything on your heart and mind, and all I'm going to do is listen. You have no idea how profound that is, because most people are never listened to with an entire focus of attention. So what a gift to give somebody. You've got 4 minutes. I'm just here to receive you. It's profound.
Yeah. Beautiful. I'll definitely try that after this podcast recording. I can assure you that. I really love that. Yeah, holding space. What a great one. All right. So we have covered everything regarding the practice. And now we're going to go into a section where we have some questions from our audience. So we have our internal audience who submit some questions. And I want to highlight one question that I find particularly interesting that we probably have not covered. So let's talk about this one. This is a really good one. How do we measure happiness in terms of building relationships with others?
I don't really understand that question, but I'll take a stab at it. Again, mm-hmm. I don't think that we build happiness in relation to others. I think that we're always building our happiness in the way that we perceive our relationships. So when I look at what's going well right now between you and I, I'm learning about you, I'm interested in your perspective, I'm immediately more engaged and happy. But it's not a fixed notion, happiness. It's something we're creating moment by the way we're perceiving things. Is the cup full? Is it half empty? Am I feeling appreciation, curiosity? That's my take on it.
Yeah, totally. I think the audience member that asked this question thought about it in terms of, you know, building the relationships. But like you said, it's quite different. So it's a matter of perspective. And I really like what you just pointed out there. All right. So we have covered the audience question. And now let's go into open mic. So as we talked about this section earlier, it's your platform to talk about anything that you're passionate about. And I know that you have a topic in mind already. I'm also excited to hear it. So Jennifer, take it away.
Well, I have written over 10 books, and my latest book published by Gwyneth Paltrow and Goop is called A Map to Your Soul, and it's how to live a fully expressed life in 12 domains of life. And I think you can get it with audio or book or Kindle. The point is, get the book, because I am passionate that people understand happiness actually comes from living a fully expressed life. We are not our limited beliefs. We are not only one thing or another thing. We're constantly creating ourselves anew. And it's up to us to be very intentional about expanding the possibilities of our contributions. So my book, A Map to Your Soul, has a lot of inventories and exercises on everything from self-presentation to money and values, to the homes you live in, to sexuality, to partnership, to career. It's an extremely practical book. That's number one. Number two, I've just had a Oracle deck published by Blue Angel Publishing in Australia. And this Oracle deck is a tool to help your intuition, have fun with people playing a game, but also if you're interested in astrology, it teaches you astrology. So it's a combination deck, and it's called the Astrology Oracle Deck by Jennifer Fried, PhD. And then my other passionate thing that I already said is the relationship check-in tool coming out through Nebula Horoscope. And that is based in Ukraine. I'm all over the world. These are the things I'm passionate about that I really want your audience to participate in and learn about. And that's my gift to the world, is I have in my 65 years learned a few things and I want to share them.
Yeah. Yeah, beautiful. Thank you so much. I just love hearing about your passion, and so good to, you know, to see you live your passion as well. You know, it's so inspiring to all of us. Thank you for being here, for your time, for sharing your insights. And genuinely, I think even though it's a very short and sweet conversation, there's so much that we can learn from it and actually take from it to go into our daily lives and, you know, keep fostering those relationships that we want to maintain, to be happy, to be healthy, to be positive. And I'm definitely going to apply some of the things that you just mentioned, especially holding space. I love that one. So thank you so much for being here. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. And we'll definitely check out your book.
Great. And I really want to say I love you, Australian people. And I feel so happy to be part of something that's emanating from there. And thank you for your time and the engineer's time. It really is quite a contribution you're making. So thank you.
Thanks so much.
produced by the Happiness Science Labs, a division of LMSL, the Life Management Science Labs. More episodes are available from 10 life management perspectives and can be found by searching LMSL on Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, YouTube, and other podcasting apps available on your devices. If you enjoyed this episode, please rate, share, and subscribe to our channel so that other people can find it and we can continue to provide quality content. More of our work can be found on our website at ha.lmsl.net, where you can join our movement. I'm Lu Ngo. Thanks for tuning in.